we're live.
We're live. We might as well be live because we are doing one raw take today of this.
Yeah.
Oh. And does it make you nervous?
It does.
Tell the kids why we're doing that.
So this episode is going to be strange for probably a couple reasons. So we did a longest night Facebook Live in the coven, the big coven, yes, last night from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m.
I looking back on it, it feels like a fever dream.
I hardly remember it. I mean, honestly, I got to see the sun. I did. Like, yes. I saw the orange glow and I was like, okay. And I slept on the couch because I knew, like, I know that I'm going to have to wake up because I took a little nappy poo between just staying up and then the live, you know, because I didn't want to be a complete zombie. Took a little nap. I was like, I know if I'm going to have to wake up at 3 a.m., I can't be in a bed. I'm going to have to just already be on the couch. I had the ring light already sitting there by the couch. Like, everything was ready.
You were already live and you just don't know it.
And like the way you described the eyes, dude, how it felt like every time I open and shut my eyes, like old, like creaky doors just opening and shutting. Oh my gosh. Wow.
But it was a good time. We got to talk to a lot of the beings that we normally don't get to talk to when we do lives. So that was pretty cool.
I loved it. It was great. Mm-hmm. It went all over the place. It got very serious towards the end, but like in a healing way, like in a way that I've honestly felt really good about since doing it.
Not to go there again and get into it, but I haven't really talked about some of that stuff.
Yeah. Really? Me either. Ever. Not like that.
No. So that was interesting. But thank you guys for being there and for being a part of the live. However, that's also the reason that we're recording and publishing this the day that it's coming out, and that it's going to be coming out late. And also probably why my voice is going to be a little funky in and out of this, because we talked a lot last night and my voice is feeling the effects.
Yeah. And it's just my allergy season anyway. And so it's going to be kind of a gravelly episode, I would guess. And it's just the holidays. Like, everything's just kind of tight and running late a little bit. And so it's like, we just kind of realized, like, holy shit. Like, it was like yesterday. It was like, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. You know? And so then it was like, we were up all night essentially. And so it's just like, now now we got to just do this bad boy in one cut, man.
And I did manage to hit mute before I let out a banger of a sneeze just now. So that was a good little, savior moment. Ew, that's not what I meant.
Wow.
Wow.
How serious for such a small thing.
So today, welcome. This is our holiday spooky chode. That's right. If you've never been here for a spooky chode, Mace is going to tell you what that means right now.
Oh, thank you. So this is kind of our new way of doing a bit of a, you know, we have our big ass Halloween special. That's like our big special, you know, and so this is kind of like our way to do like a Christmas episode. It's just, we bang through a couple sweet listener stories. And so it's like a little kind of like the old school, just like reading ghost stories on, you know, Christmas and whatnot. So that's kind of what we're doing here. This is going to be a sleepy edition because both of us are running on next to no sleep. Yeah. So this will be fun. No,
we're going to get sued now. I mean, well,
no. Cummings is going to come for us.
Yeah. Creative Reason. What is it? Creative Reason Media is suing us now, right now.
Well, I just really think that y'all shouldn't use our name.
Yeah.
I feel like that's as stern as you'd get from him.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, the voice would be chilled, but the things he said would be awful.
Oh yeah, and you just feel so disappointed in yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh man. If he hated us, I would feel so bad.
I would, dude. I think about that sometimes. Like I think about people that I like look up to, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, man, what if they just happened to have heard an episode and they hate me?
Oh no.
Yeah.
I thought about that back in the days when I don't remember how. Who was it? Somebody included us and Eve in the same text or the same tweet.
That was Corey.
Oh gosh, of course.
I had to. I'm like 99% sure.
And you were like, what if we make Eve a witch? But I'm like, oh no, he hates us. So he hates us. But in reality, he didn't.
Nothing happened at all.
Oh man. So I say that we should jump into these scary ghost stories and something. It's the most wonderful time. Man, if I'm going to keep referencing that, I need to learn the words. All I know is scary ghost stories. Not really.
No.
And there'll be corn for popping and something. I don't know the words. Okay.
Will be corn for popping.
Isn't that a lyric? I don't fucking know.
Why not? Honestly.
Macy, I'm going to flip a snack to see which one of us goes first. I'm flipping a Trader Joe's winter wake up tea. This was lovingly sent to me by Kim, Mama Kim. But there's a side with a label and or a tag, like the little paper tea tag. Mm-hmm. And there's a side without. So which one do you want?
I want without.
Without. Okay, I'm going to flip with vigor. Here we go. Ugh. It's without, baby. You go first.
It was a really, really little doo-doo. It was like a tiny little thump. It was like, it's funny.
Did you hear it?
It was very minor.
Just.
Yeah, some might say unimpressive.
Oh.
It was cute. All right. So, and these stories, I think that didn't you say that you just searched words like winter and solstice or Yule just to kind of see if we could try to get a theme together? Because we don't like to read these beforehand. We like to keep this a fresh reveal.
Yeah. So while we haven't read these, we did kind of pick ones that may or may not have a winter theme. Who knows? One of these stories, the word winter might be like, I was chewing winter fresh gum.
And honestly.
As close as we're going to get, but we'll see.
But it's a game. So look out for the words now because it makes it fun. Yeah. And just up at the top, usually if we fumble over words for your listening pleasure, we clean that up. But we're not doing that today. So if you hear it, it is what it is. You know what?
It's a live show. It's a live show. That's what we're doing.
You're behind the scenes. Okay. So this was sent in by Drea. So here we go. During a full moon, I was doing a full moon tarot spread. For some reason, I casted a circle, which I usually never do, but I did. So as I was finishing up my reading, I was getting ready to just sit and meditate on my reading. My phone starts ringing, and I go to look at it because I was so upset that it didn't set to vibrate, and it was ruining my vibe. But my heart suddenly dropped as I looked at it, and it just said my name, like I was calling myself. So I just instantly froze and clicked ignore and flipped it over. I don't know what it was or anything, but that moment has been burned into my memory.
That's gross. The worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that is
disgusting.
I automatically think that I'm dead. Somewhere in a dimension, I died.
Yes.
Or I'm dead now.
Ugh.
Gross. Story number two for this go around, just to give a history. Me and my boyfriend lived together in this house we rented. We have two young kids. So with that said, he is an electrician and works long hours sometimes and does side jobs on certain nights when he was When he was gone, a certain toy of the kids would always end up going off. I hate toys.
Gross.
I hate when toys animate themselves.
Grody.
But never in a normal way. The normal way would be playing various songs from start to finish and never really repeating. But every time the toy would go off, it always played a certain song and just one single verse from it. Would you like to play? And then it would skip to the end of the song and say goodbye, just those words on repeat. So would you like to play goodbye? Throw it out.
First of all, make up your mind. Like, really, maybe I do want to play. Don't say goodbye. You know, I was ready to play.
Yeah, you're kind of putting a vibe out there like you don't want to. So then I don't want you to feel obligated, you know, just to offer, just feel like you have to, you know.
Yeah. I'm trying to do you the favor. Come on, man.
So when I woke one night to it happening, it would go for a few minutes and stop. So I just always let it ride. I was very certain there was a small child there, never anything malicious or tricky. So I didn't mind. Our kids had plenty of toys, and I like to think it helped with the spirit. But one night it woke me, and I had had enough because it didn't stop after 10 minutes, and I was pregnant and tired. So I stomped out there and said, "This is not how we conduct ourselves in this house, and if you can't respect it, you need to leave."
Woo-hoo.
Ooh. A few nights later, we had the house to ourselves because the grandparents to the kiddos and my boyfriend were getting ready for bed. And I was in the bedroom and my boyfriend in the kitchen grabbing snackies, which I could see from the bedroom. And in the playroom where that toy was, it started going off again. I just froze and yelled to my boyfriend, why did you make the toy go off? Which he said, "I'm in the kitchen. It's just broken. It goes off." So I said, "We've been home all day and nowhere near it. It hasn't gone off. Why is it doing it now?" And he just dismisses it. Then our bathroom door slams shut. I don't like slamming doors either. Mm-hmm. Add that to the list.
No, that's very long to me. That's the list of things we do not like in spooky stories. Here's the thing. There's a lot of things you can do that'll make me feel oogie and creep me out. When you slam a door, something in my brain switches and I'm just mad.
It's aggressive.
Yeah.
Slamming a door is scary.
I'm not scared by it because there are certain things
it's like,
that are aggressive.
Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a whiny, aggressive,
like,
and I'm not
teenager here for energy.
That. No, fuck you. You're getting your ass, you know, blasted with some sound.
Yeah, clear. That was your one chance.
Yeah. and you trashed it.
Like, come on. Here we go. Where am I? Let me find my place. Okay, bathroom door slammed, which freaks me out. And then I screamed to my boyfriend, "Oh my God, I'm scared. Please come here." And he said, "Why?" He wasn't able to see it. Or he wasn't able to see that it wasn't me that did that. We had hardwood floors then in the silence. But I could hear small footsteps running at full speed down the hallway right towards the room I'm in. I hate that. Don't run. Add that to the list. You know,
yeah, like, don't slam run. Doors.
It makes it realer for some reason to hear like the running. I don't like it. So running down the hallway towards the room I'm in. And in that moment, I basically fully shit a brick and scream, "Oh my fucking God, I'm your pregnant girlfriend. I'm terrified. Please come save me." Cluelessly, he laughs and says why I'm sobbing in fear. And I get up and jump as far as I can to the doorway so he can see me. And I run full speed to the kitchen where he was obviously furious. I was at that time taking a break from my witchcraft journey and never realized that I never cleansed that house for some reason. Oh yeah, man. I talked about this in my last Patreon blog that I did because I had to cleanse an oogie out of the house.
Okay.
And dude, did I tell you, I, this was something that I blocked out of my mind until I was writing and I remembered it happened because it was so gross.
Tell me.
And so dude, cause you know, I've had the whole Bruce situation, you know, like all the drama and whatnot. I don't want to say made like it allowed me to let all my words down and let my energy down low enough to where somebody slithered in. Which happens, you know, especially living here in these woods that are weird. It's like I have to work actively to make sure that nothing slimy comes out and like that all of my people in the woods are happy with me. And so they help me, you know. But when I quit giving offerings and whatnot because I'm depressed, they have no obligation to me. It's kind of like, all right, well, fuck you then. You know, and that's just it's transactional. It's how it works.
Maybe she wants something. I don't know.
And so like this weird, like in my period, it was like a shadow. Usually I get smoke monsters, but this was like in a man shape. It was like a dude shape in my mind. And like, it was like clay, like bentonite clay colored. And Kim called it, she dubbed it the Mud Man, which is perfect. It's exactly what it looked like. It was like this Mud Man. that had, you know, was, and it was really kind of fucking with me in the house. And it hit, I guess, the peak, but at the time it happened, I guess my psyche just protected me because I was so calm about it. And I didn't even think about it again until I wrote the blog, like after this was pretty much over. But I took a shower. And when I got out of the shower, running almost all the way down the mirror was a handprint that was fresh as a goddamn daisy. Like, I mean, it had the droplets running from it. Like how yesterday, you know, we were drawing on the inside of the greenhouse. It was like that. Fresh as could be.
I
swiped all the way. And I looked at it and just kind of, I was just like, okay, all right. You son of a bitch. And it was kind of like, you son of a bitch. Like, I know you were here. And then it was like, I didn't think about it again until a week later. It was like, my mind was just like, not right now.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't resolved yet. Yeah. I was like still going through kind of like the throes of it all. It was kind of at the peak, which makes sense. But yeah, like that happened. Like there was a fucking handprint and I blasted that fucker out, dude. It was insane.
Oh, yeah.
It was insane. Like it took some time. Like I had to let the process end and like the adoption process close. And I was just like, I know I'm not going to do this until that's over. And the, you know, it was like, oh man, dude, it was serious business. Like it was one of the big, a big boy.
Did you end him?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Gone. And it's like, even like I even noticed it in like Hunter, like his demeanor was like, I could tell that he felt better. Like everything, the dogs feel better. Like everything is different. Like I've not been waking up in like panic anymore, you know? And like, I was getting to where I was like, this sounds kind of nuts, but I was checking rooms, even though I hadn't left the house. It was that uncomfortable. Something was over it was always my left shoulder, but something was so tormenting all the time. I was like kind of paranoid, like constantly checking the rooms in the house because I just felt like something was in the house. And like, I've not even had a half of a desire to do that.
Dude, that's fucking sick. And I don't mean like sick, bro.
I
mean,
I know it's creepy, but the handprint was violating because
Shower. Don't fuck with me when I'm in the shower or getting, or using the toilets or getting dressed.
That's fucking a battle. Perv. That's a personal, like, that's calling me out. That's squaring.
That's
up.
Like, I was here when you were vulnerable.
Yeah. On purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, dude, you're going to get fucking evaporated. Get out of here.
But all of that is to say is I don't have a haunted house. You know, any house can be haunted. I believe that fully, you know, any house can be haunted. It can be apartments, energy and past. I believe in, I call them just like transients or passerbys, you know, that just kind of work their way through. Like, and so
spiritual homeless.
Yeah. And so I get that when they were just like, I hadn't, you know, I was not practicing and my wards were down. It's just, it can happen, you know?
Well, geez, dude. I also, let me just say in that story, the running down the hallway.
Oh God, that's dude, one of my worst fears to hear.
Do that to me. I'm gonna stick my arm out and fucking clothesline. Don't do that.
Yeah. And it's like, I won't, I'll probably cower or run away, but in about an hour I will be back. And unfortunately you're going to be dematerialized, even if you're a small child. Just don't run in my house if you're a ghost.
I will permanently end a small child.
I will. If they're doing that, if they're up to that kind of antics and they're not alive anymore.
See, for me to dematerialize, it has to be pretty fucking serious.
I mean, and in all seriousness, yes. Like, typically, I'll cleanse them out and be and like, all right, y'all need to go. But I won't do it to blow humans. Them up.
I will not, you know, I don't think that you... I don't even think I have that power, but I won't even try to do it to like something I feel is human.
Well, and you know what was interesting? How I fought the mud man is I didn't actually like blow him up. I like killed him with kindness. Mm-hmm. I've never done that before, but it was like, that was exactly it was like my gut knew that was the move. And so like all of I don't remember my incantation in my mind, but it was like via sympathy.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was weird, but it was so effective. It was like with love almost like, I'm sorry, but you can't be here because of what you are, you know? Like, and it was just like, it hated it. It couldn't, it was like, it was not prepared for that, you know? And it was
tormented, you know?
So it kind of was just like, you got to go back to your level. If you, and I kind of was like, and I offer this to everything. It's like, I don't like to really close my house off. If you're a high enough frequency, you can come in. Yeah. Because I know, you know, and so that was kind of where I was like, you know, you're just not there. If you ever got to that point, sure, but you're
it's
not.
Like the sign outside of like a roller coaster that's like, you must be this tall to ride.
You gotta be this tall, buddy, and you're not.
You need to be this frequency to vibe in my house, or you're not coming in. Well, I have a story here, but looking at it, it is very short. So would you like me to just read through this one and then into the next one as well? Cause, to give you two long boys back to back.
Well, if you want, or I can, since I just told my own story, I can take this shorty and then you can read.
Yeah. Take the shorty. Yeah. Take the shorty.
Alrighty. So this next one was sent in by Liz. This did not personally happen to me, but I found this funny nonetheless. I was looking
I
up
see
some
the words. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Go ahead, dude.
I see the word funny and then I see the word IHOP and I'm ready for it.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. This is some good light, like a nice little fun. I like the fun ones, you know, that kind of pepper through.
Yes.
I was looking up some local haunted locations for some history and good stories, and I found the best story I didn't know I needed. In Clearwater, Florida, hell yeah, there is a haunted IHOP.
Yay.
And the main reason they think it's haunted is because while employees were setting up a Christmas display, the arm of the Santa Claus was mysteriously taken off of its body and thrown across the room. At first, they tried to debunk this as the wind, but it couldn't be recreated.
Oh.
After reading a bit more, the staff experienced other weird things while working late. But for the most part, this entity messes with the cameras and appears as a black hooded figure. Whoa.
Oh my God.
That took a turn and walks around the restaurant.
Gross.
I like to think it just wants pancakes and hates Christmas decorations too early in the year. Hey, same, buddy.
Maybe it's like somebody, maybe it's not like a black hooded figure. Maybe it's somebody who's just like was cold because it was like, you know, getting towards winter and they had like their hood up on their hoodie or something. And that's what they're just really grumpy about the early fucking decorations. And they're just slapping arms off of Santa's. It's like an elderly, you know, like a really disgruntled elderly person who's just like, oh, this fucking Christmas, you know. That's what I imagine. And they really want pancakes.
I like to think that it's just the employees running a really long prank.
Yeah.
And like they're doing all this shit, but they're blaming it on the ghost.
And they got to keep it up now.
No one's going to rat it out at this point. It's like you get hired on and then it's like, okay, listen.
Listen, I know the story here is that it's haunted, but we're going to let you in on a secret. You got to sign like an NDA and everything.
Yeah, just like with your band of brother IHOP staff.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, I'm going to read our next story. This is from Big Goth Kitty, which...
Awesome. Lived. Awesome.
So, my in-laws live about 2 hours away, which is a perfect distance for me, as it's far enough as they can't show up unannounced, but not too long for a day trip if we need to go see them.
Totally get it.
Yep. Now, the trip there is usually easy, but the trip home can be tough. Excuse me, live show. After a full day of driving there, doing all the social stuff and doing my best not to get into politics, the drive back, I am usually very tired and about an hour overdue for a cigarette for the whole ride home, even though I don't smoke anymore. I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that hard. Now we live in the northeast part of the country, so a 2+ hour drive on the highway will probably take you through a major urban area or two, and some long stretches of basically trees, and you're going to change interstates a few times.
Ugh, all right.
That sounds like a nice little drive. You can
it
take
does.
A little... this particular trip home had started like all of the others, leaving for home an hour later than I wanted to, and everyone being a little bit tired and bordering on grouchy.
I know that feeling.
Yep. As I pulled on the entrance ramp of the first highway, a small voice popped into the back of my head. The four words it said were, "Don't take Bay Road." Now, I need to explain what Bay Road is for y'all to understand. We live about 8 miles off the interstate, and from the direction we were coming, there are basically two ways to get to our house. You can either take the exit for a state route 4-lane highway off of the interstate, go 8 miles in a straight line due south to the street that we live on, or you can get off the interstate a few miles earlier and take Bay Road, which conveniently shortcuts diagonally to where you want to be. It's much shorter.
That you would want to take.
Much You'd shorter. Take Bay Road. You want to take Bay Road because it's shorter, it's smaller. This is, but it's darker, twistier, and has several blind corners. Now, it's not a road I'm afraid of in any way. I've lived here for 12 years, and between commuting and work and shopping, I can easily calculate that I have driven Bay Road in excess of 10,000 times in all kinds of weather, every hour of the day. Anyway, going back to the drive home, as I got into the next highway, the voice was in the back of my head, a little louder than last time. Don't take Bay Road. And it continued. Every time I would change highways, go through a toll booth, or get to some other waypoint in the drive, the little voice in the head got louder, louder. Do not take Bay Road. Angrier. Now, I had not told anyone else what was happening. Firstly, I didn't want to scare the kiddos, nor did I want to cause concern, contempt, or face a massive eye roll from my preferred human in the passenger seat. And I definitely did not want to admit that there were voices in my head.
Sure.
But we eventually came to the point on the drive home where I needed to make a choice. Take Bay Road or go the long way. And me being the stubborn, proud, tired, Virgo, dumb, reckless Leo Moon that I am, I decided I was going for it. That is that's a mood, man. I like the stubborn, proud, tired, Virgo, dumb, reckless Moon, Leo Moon. I was in the right lane. I put my signal on, but I couldn't turn the steering wheel. It was locked. I could not turn the wheel to the right. What the fuck? Now, I'm a big human. I'm 25 years as a mechanic. I have driven everything from tiny go-karts, motorcycles, and cars up to semi-trucks and earth movers and everything in between. I know now, I know how to make a vehicle do what I want it to do. And if it misbehaves, I will make it do what I want it to do through sheer force of will and equal parts of finesse and violence.
Okay.
I don't think that at this point, anyone else in the minivan had any idea of what was going on, but no invisible magic force field shield bullshit was going to stop me from getting where I wanted to go. So I veered a tiny bit left and tried to swerve onto the exit. Don't take Bay Road. This giant, strange voice cracked through the silence of the dark minivan.
Ew.
So loud that everyone screamed.
Oh, everyone.
Oh, this is out loud. It was painful, and at the same moment, with the wheels turned to the right, some giant invisible force literally bitch-slapped a 4,000-pound minivan from the exit ramp, two lanes left, into the center of the lane of the deserted interstate. There was a confused screaming, lots of swearing, kiddos telling kiddos to calm down, and a few rounds of what the fuck was that, followed by a lot of I don't fucking knows. But whatever the hell it was, I wasn't going to slow down, stop, or even look in the rearview mirror. Speed limits be damned. Yeah, at that point, dude, what are you going to pull me over. Fine.
Yeah.
My one goal was to get the family home to our house where I knew where we would be safe. We did get home safely and eventually after that via the long route. We did get safely and uneventfully after that via the longer route. After getting the kiddos to bed and having a few minutes to calm down, my preferred human started badgering me for more information because we were both still in full WTF mode. I explained the small voice that had told me not to take Bay Road, the steering wheel that would not turn. I finally had to ask them who had screamed, because it just seemed so impossibly loud that I knew it wasn't me. My preferred human looked back at me with a very pale and serious look on their face. Ew. Oh, God. Oh, okay. They looked at me with a very pale and serious look on their face. It was you. It was you screaming. But that was not your voice. I've known you for 20 years, and I've never heard anything like that.
Ew, I have
driven that road hundreds of times since this without any issues, but I still wonder what fate we dodged that night. Dude,
that made my mouth water. That's unreal.
Is the worst.
Wow. Well, I don't even know if you dodged the fate. You weren't allowed that fate. Whatever happened.
That is some strong, that is something strong that came through. And I, in my headcanon, That is some form of protector, some big bad bitch on your
God, that lost their patience, man. They're just like, come on, yeah, dude.
Do you know how much energy this takes? Say it. Yeah, do you know how much energy this takes? I'm fucking tired. Woof.
Damn it.
Damn. I hate the who screamed that? And they're like, you.
It was
you. You screamed that. Bum, bum. Oh. Dun, 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 dun.
Ugh. I sorry,
you did bum bum.
Creepy. That's creepy. I don't yes. like the creepy. All
it,
right.
It's creepy, although it's see, this is one of those things that it's like, dude, did something guide you away from a horrible fate? Or
I mean, it sounds like it. I mean, that's possible too. But you know. And this might be a bit foolish to think because, you know, you can hear of some like lowly forces doing some quote great things. But like, I sometimes wonder if like a lowly being like that, like a trickster being, if they would be able to harness that incredible amount of energy.
Right.
To do that. I mean, to stop the wheel from being moved, to that maneuver the car,
yeah.
to channel the voice. That's a lot.
That's some big boy stuff.
Yeah.
That's a power. Somebody with power came through, and I'm not sure if human energy possesses that.
Maybe not.
I don't know. That's up for interpretation, I guess, man.
But I guess next time you hear a voice that says, "Don't take Bay Road," fucking listen to it, because man, they're just gonna take over.
Never take Bay Road ever again, dude.
Yeah, did you mean this time? Now?
This now? Okay. Look, I'm just forget it exists. Always take the long way.
Oh, God. All right, here we go. This next story sent in by Darian. The first time I ever had a spooky experience was at my grandmother's in Colorado. My mom, sister, and I drove up to visit, and somehow I was able to have my own room upstairs. My sister decided she wanted to sleep in the same room as my mother. Mind you, we're in middle school at this point. But I didn't think anything of it. The house had kind of a thick energy to it upstairs and in the basement, but I didn't learn to recognize this feeling until a few years later. Anyways, the last night we were there, my grandmother's dog and our family dog slept in the room with me. That was rumbly.
Sorry. Live show.
I woke up in the middle of the night to the feeling of someone lying on top of the blanket with their back to mine. I quickly noted I could feel the big dog at my feet, and I could see our family dog on the floor. I tried pulling the covers again, but they wouldn't budge.
Ew.
I couldn't decide which would be more terrifying, rolling over to see someone I didn't know on the bed with me, or roll over and see the impression of a body, feel the body, and see nobody.
Ew.
So I fell back asleep. My mom still jokes that my solution to ghosts is to fall asleep. I think that's very normal.
It's so weird. I think that
the brain sometimes is like, listen, there's like very likely no physical harm that's going to come to you. So just let's go night night. Let's just shut down before you absolutely split in two.
You know the computer power down noise.
Exactly.
Yeah, you just kind of do that.
I didn't remember this happened until we were on our way back to Texas and mentioned it to my mom and sister. My sister immediately confirmed the reason she refused to sleep in that room was the last time she did, the closet door violently shook. Thanks for not telling us.
Just deal with it.
But my mom mentioned this to my grandmother, and she said that our great-grandmother, who had begun to live with them recently, was praying for the spirits in the house. When one left, another would arrive.
Huh.
For some reason, this experience opened up my intuition and sixth sense, and I've been able to feel things since. So fast forward 13 years, and now I'm 27. I began working at the Cameron Park Zoo in Waco, Texas, and was hired as the snooze educator. Basically, I would guide our tour groups behind the scenes at night and be the chaperone while they got to spend the night at the zoo afterwards. Cute. And conveniently, yeah, that does sound fun. I was living in a house right across the street. I could hear the lions in the morning while I took my dog out. Among the staff at the zoo, it is well known that the grounds are haunted. Cameron Park Zoo is located within Cameron Park. It's beautiful, and there are lots of trees and natural coverings. But the moment the sun sets, the atmosphere completely changes. That's like this place. During COVID, our tours were limited to the Herpetarium, aka the Reptile House.
It's a reptile house. Snake farm.
Just sounds nasty.
Snake farm.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, God.
I had heard stories from managers, rangers, and other random staff members about seeing faces in the glass. Faces in the water. A man screaming, "Get out!" And a group of Girl Scouts even saw a man walking behind the building once. And I believed them. You could feel the masculine energy in the building at night. Supposedly, once the weather begins to cool down, when the activity really begins to pick up. And so last winter, I had my first ghostly experience at the zoo.
Ghostly.
We were closing down all the lights. Reptiles have sensitive photo periods, and you can't leave any extra lights on inside. And as I'm walking behind the scenes to turn off a set of lights for one of the larger exhibits, a very loud, very not reptile-like series of knocks rapped on the glass I was walking past.
No. Ew. I'm going to pick up a snake and use it as a weapon.
Like, yeah, dude.
Get out of here.
I'm going to open up this water monitor cage and it's going to come get you, you fucking bastard.
Bastard.
I noped myself right out of there and let my manager know that the lights would be fine for one night. I told my friend, she was one of the volunteers who helped me with the tours, about this immediately. She is also a believer in the paranormal. Well, literally two nights later, we were hosting another late night tour, and I'm giving my spiel to a group when I see my friend make a very weird face. While the group was walking around looking at enclosures, my friend informed me that she watched a shadow figure walk from left to right through one of the side rooms located in the back. We were very quick to flip the lights off that night.
Goodbye.
But this got me thinking a few nights later while I was sitting on my porch letting the dog out for the last time for the night. What kind of rules do ghosts have to follow? Are they trapped within a property line? Can they go and come as they please? Would this vary depending on the type of haunting or spirit? I have lots of questions, can you tell? Now, it was later than normal for me to be letting the dog out. It was dark, and we usually don't go out at night. He likes to chase raccoons, and that's definitely not allowed. Oh. So I quickly got him back inside. Other than chasing raccoons and squirrels, he was the goodest boy. He's in doggo heaven now. Rest in peace, sweet boy. He was always calm, quiet, but always watching and listening. The dog never met a stranger. He was so friendly and happy all of the time. But about 20 minutes after we came in, we were lying down watching TV, and all of a sudden it felt as if something came into our space. My dog sat up, hackles raised, and was growling like I had never heard, and he was staring straight at a spot between the door and the window. Even when we could hear the neighbors walking around, he never growled like that. The presence was overpoweringly male, and I immediately thought of the spirit who resides across the street at the zoo.
Get out of my house, dude. It ain't working hours.
Yeah, no. Working hours. Did he hear me asking these questions? I still don't know. The presence was only there for about a minute before it left again, but it was a very unnerving experience.
I like to think that he's like a well, actually kind of guy. And
yeah.
He heard the question and he popped up and like in his own realm, he pops up and he's like, well, actually, we don't adhere to any rule, blah, 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 blah. And then he just dipped, but like they didn't hear any of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, very possible.
Huh.
You know, you never know.
Well,
weird.
Gross. Stay out of my house. You know what? There's work friends and there's home friends.
Absolutely. Yes.
Don't try to blend those. You're a work ghost. Stay there.
Yeah. 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 You don't come here. You don't follow me. That's not how this works.
You get my persona, my work persona. That's all you get.
It's like, buddy, do you want me to blast you out of the zoo? I can't.
Yeah. And you say something cool when you do. Zoo's closed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. We have another story for you today. This is from Sarah. Last time we moved into a new house, I live in Ohio, so of course all the houses are old as hell, usually around the 1800s. Oh, that's fucking sweet.
That's cool.
When you first walk into a house, you have the layout of the living room with two entrances, one into a side room near the stairs and one into a hallway that leads you to the kitchen and to the bathroom.
Yes.
Up the stairs, you have two rooms, one to the left, which was my brother's room, and one to the right, which was my room. I can like picture this house.
That's a pretty common layout.
I was in love with my room because according to my little three-year-old me, having blue everything, including shag carpet and wooden walls was cool. Hell yeah. Something that was off about that room is that it always smelled like rose water or a fancy rose perfume. That was the first thing that threw off my mother in the house. But of course, little three-year-old me did not care because I'm like, ooh, fancy room with a smell.
Yeah, it smells good.
Yeah. My father hated my room for the sole fact that whenever he would go upstairs, he claimed that the rose smell was nothing. Ooh, gross. Sorry, I'm reading ahead. He claimed that the rose smell was nothing but manure. So he's smelling manure. We've heard that before.
We've heard
different people having different like perceiving smells different ways.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing with poltergeist activity as well. Like people, it will like display itself to like differently to different people.
Gross. Well, a week after we bought the house, we started remodeling and I would hang out upstairs in my room with my toys and my books. And my mom would hear me reading to myself, but me being three, I didn't know how to read. Hell, I didn't even know how to speak very well. So often she would come up the stairs and see what was happening. And I would say, Mom, my new friend is reading to me. Mm. Of course, she thought it was an imaginary friend, one similar to the characters in the shows that I would watch. But when I started describing her, my mom oftentimes would be like, okay, that's enough upstairs time for you.
Mm.
I never understood why until I was older, that hearing someone being described as the lady in the long white dress and hat is kind of concerning, seeing as how this was the early 2000s. From what I understand, she never caused this harm except to my father, causing cigarettes to go missing, computers to go haywire, and lighters not working.
Interesting.
Despite them being full of go juice. Maybe she just hates technology and smokers, dude.
Maybe, but she made him smell manure.
She didn't like your dad.
I don't think she liked your dad.
She did not like your dad. I just imagine every time your dad like comes in the house, she's like, oh, this bitch.
Oh, this fucking guy.
When I was around five is when she disappeared and I never heard of her again until I was 10. A story my mom told me about the lady in white was that when my dad went upstairs to put me in my crib as punishment for something bad that I had done, something fragile off the top shelf had fallen and shattered, cutting his ankle a bit.
God damn, dude.
I wouldn't necessarily say she had done it, but it was quite the coincidence, seeing as though that was far back on the shelf. No, dude, she did it. She shanked your dad.
Yes, she did.
Another story is that in the hallway, you could see the living room that connects both the kitchen and the bathroom. During the winter months, I would sleep downstairs on the couch because my room was so cold. Poorly insulated due to my father's incompetence. Oftentimes, when I step... excuse me... oftentimes when I slept on the couch and it was in the early morning, not even 6 a.m. yet, I would wake up for some reason feeling some sort of presence. I'm not sure if he was masculine or feminine, but it was definitely in charge, if that makes sense. The sense was more of a do no harm, take no shit kind of thing. I would always see a blob in the hallway though, walking. Ooh, I hate the idea of a blob walking, walking from the entrance of the house to the door of the bathroom, oftentimes followed by a cat. Specifically, my old cat named Spot, who died when I was 7. So spotlight on the presence, so spotlight the presence then, and I was not sure that it was, I'm so sorry, live show. I was sure that the presence was peaceful until it provoked. It never did much at all. All it did was take a stroll, except for one night I was asleep on the couch and my dad was on his computer.
Okay.
What's going to happen? Here, the dad has entered the chat. My dad was on his computer, and when I woke up, I saw the blob behind him. It wasn't doing anything, and it was just watching, kind of analyzing. Yeah, just looking. It was analyzing my dad, and from what I could feel, which wasn't much, seeing as how I was half awake, it did not like him.
Yeah.
From the way it sounds, it could have just been a dream, but every time seeing... I'm so sorry. This is too funny to me. It could have just been a dream, but seeing it was quite the coincidence to never have seen it doing anything like that before. Oh my God. And the third story takes place in the kitchen / laundry room. It's a little step away, and the laundry room and the kitchen that... I'm so sorry. Live show. It's a little stepway, and the laundry room and the kitchen that had a half wall where you could see into the laundry room from the kitchen. Oftentimes, the laundry room doubled as a storage unit, and the kitchen was just all around just a kitchen. This one counts as a double ghost. Twins, if I remember correctly.
Oh.
My mom always said it was a boy and a girl, but I could never tell. They rarely did anything bad, but they would play obnoxious pranks, moving through, moving glasses and drinks, closing cabinets, tripping you, etc. There's not much to the story, only that one day, they just disappeared. Individually, of course, but it was just odd. I'll never really had much intolerance with, the supposed twins. And I would kind of talk to them. I would walk from the kitchen, say, "How do you do?" And I would continue on my way, or my mom would continue on her way when she would leave. And from what I could tell, they did not like my dad either.
Okay.
I know you're not here to talk about daddy issues, but my dad was an ass. So it's kind of expected that they would not like him.
I think so.
They would spill his beers and whatnot.
Excellent.
I got that feeling.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's kind of like a dog. You know how they say they're like, if dogs don't like a person, maybe not necessarily one dog, but like if dogs repeatedly like don't like a person, it's probably not a great person. I feel that way about spirit in this sense.
Yes. Yes. They're going to judge the character pretty accurately.
What a punching bag character.
I know. And it's in the dad's in there. It's just like, oh, God. And I like to think too that the little smudge monster, the little blobby walkie thing, which I like to actually kind of picture as a rounded, more like rounded shape, is like a Fresno Nightcrawler, because it's walking, but it's a blob. So it's just kind of, I don't know, kind of shaped like the Grimace, I suppose. But
it is the Grimace, yes.
It is the Grimace. And I like to think it's just looking at this dad on his computer, and it's just like, I could fuck with this guy.
Yeah.
Like, do I want to spend the energy? Do I really, really want to?
It.
Yeah. And it's just sitting there like, man, I could just like make him lose this. I could just like make this computer crash right now.
It's like, man, I know the chick upstairs like cut his ankle that one time. That really took it out of her. She was exhausted after that.
Do I want to go through that? Do I want to do that? I could right now. Look at
him sitting there.
Nerd.
I'm going to spill his beer. Hey, twins, come here. Spill his beer.
Yeah, they're just bullies.
Yeah.
I love it. That's awesome.
Nerd.
Wow. All right. Is there another one? Let me pull it up. I have my phone blacked out. Okay.
I believe that we have one last in the Spooky Chode saga.
All right. One song. Glory.
Oh, God. Stop it.
No, I can't.
Get some help.
All right. This last spooky chode story was sent in by Victoria D.
Did you laugh?
Yeah, I did. Because it's spooky laugh? Chode D.
Spooky chode D. Yeah. Nice lit.
Yeah. Growing up, I have always been drawn to the supernatural and occult things, which is odd because I was raised in such a Christian family. I always wanted to read and self-educate myself on different religions, but my mother wouldn't allow anything other than Christian things to enter our home. Fast forward to junior high. As I gained more freedom, I started to sleep over with my friends. Yep. After moving to a new school, I quickly became best friends with a girl also named Victoria. We were inseparable and always getting into trouble. We shared the same interests. We both liked ghosts and witchy things. Keep in mind.
I'm sorry. This is just bringing back some serious, like, middle school rebellion nostalgia.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that really is because, like, that's kind of the first time in your life that I feel like you have kind of true personal, kind of like personal liberty. Like you're starting to choose your own music, for example. I feel like in those ages, like 13 through like 15 or, you know, that's kind of when you start branching out and finding your own music, finding your own interests. So I feel like there is that streak of independence there.
Yeah. Different ways to express yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And keep in mind, we were like 14 through 16. So this was like the beginning of our witch years and we didn't have much knowledge. One of us made the discovery of a Ouija board.
Oh, it's got to be in every episode. Yeah, man.
Since we didn't have a board ourselves, we made one. Besides, we read on the internet that making one is preferred due to the energy that you put into it. But anyways, we researched what we could about the board and learned the main rules. Don't play with yourself, bless the board with salt, and only welcome spirits from the sun, etc., etc. We waited until her parents were out of the house.
Oh, God.
Side note, she lived in one of the first houses built in our town, and it was known to be a plantation house.
Ooh, woof.
There's going to be some shit there. A few years after it was built, it was turned into an inn/hotel where people could stay because the rooms were made to connect with doors that would open to a shared bathroom or another room. So it was all connected. To our knowledge, during the hotel's business, there were a few documented deaths in the house.
Gross.
There was an older lady who passed in the downstairs bathroom and a boy who died in the upstairs bedroom from polio in the 20s. The house at this time was divided into two sections. The downstairs was their family business, and upstairs was their family's living quarters. The family's business was a tax office, so there was always people coming and going, probably bringing their ghosts and spirits with them.
Yeah. And it's a tax office, so there's high emotions.
There's a lot of emotions with that. The house was very spiritually active, and the activity would increase throughout the winter months. Anyway, her parents and siblings were all out of the house, and we decided to break out the board and to try to connect to some of the spirits. I remember we moved around the house to multiple spaces to play to see if we could get any better responses. I remember we initially started in the downstairs part of her house. I remember halfway through playing it, we got spooked because we started hearing something upstairs. It sounded like somebody upstairs was just absolutely wreaking havoc.
I'm out
the front door and I'm gone. I'm not coming back for a while.
I'm liquefying into the floorboards.
Yeah, vaporized.
Goodbye.
There was crashing noises as if someone was picking up the furniture and throwing it.
Yo.
And there were also footsteps that sounded like someone had unlocked all of the room doors and was running in a full circle on the top floor. That's kind of funny. I remember we immediately stopped and ran out of the house. Thank you.
Yeah, Jesus, good decision.
But being so spooked with our adrenaline going, we thought it would be a great idea to go back in and try it again and see if we can contact somebody else.
Why not?
I don't remember ever having any significant conversation with any of the spirits. We were young and probably asking it questions like if you were going to be asked out soon by the guy you liked or whatever. Oh, but towards the end, I remember we were speaking to one spirit and it was just speaking complete gibberish. And we asked if it was speaking English and it said no. We were freaked that some scary ancient demon, that it could be some ancient demon. So we closed the session. We both had a weird feeling and cleaned up all evidence of us ever playing play with the board. We read not to burn the board, so we blessed it one more time and folded it up and buried it deep in the trash so it wasn't visible. That night, I went home to my house. I still felt odd, but I was finally away from my friend's house and safe in my own home. Though the next few days, my friend kept approaching me, saying her house was scaring her and that things kept happening. She told me a picture on her wall had just randomly fallen off in front of her, and it had never fallen before. I told her she was just paranoid. She also claimed that in the bathroom that connected her bedroom to her nephew's, the faucet would turn on and then quit without the handle ever moving. That's weird. Sick. That's weirder than it moving.
That's gross.
She also said something or someone kept knocking off her shampoo bottles into the floor. Being things being things that sometimes happen, I reassured her that everything was fine. About a week goes by and shit has hit the fan. She told me she woke up completely naked with the covers tucked underneath her bed and both of her doors locked.
Ew.
Which she never does. So, like, were the covers, like, tucked under her mattress? Like, she was, like, like in the bed with the covers, like, tucked down tight, but, like, tucked into the mattress?
Like you're trapped? Not trapped.
Yeah, like that kind of, like, kind of creepy, like, I don't know, pressure almost. Like, yeah.
Gross.
She looked very tired and very stressed, and I told her we could start staying together at night so she wouldn't be alone. I wanted to stay with her to see if things were actually happening or if she was just spooked. That night, I spent the night with her. I remember she was so scared that she brought the Bible with us to bed and laid it in the middle of us. We shortly fell asleep, and soon I woke up and checked my phone, and of course it was 3 a.m.,
I must be.
I know, dude. It was flaring in my head. It was just all I could do to not say it. It was there. I remember she told me that she would always wake up at 3 a.m. So I sat up and looked over to see if she was awake. Earlier, I had volunteered to sleep on the door side so she wouldn't be close to it. So I couldn't really see if she was awake or not because she was facing the wall. However, because she didn't sit up with me, I assumed she was asleep. I laid back down and I just closed my eyes. And keep in mind that she has a very old house. You can hear when someone is coming down the hallway due to creaky old wood floors. You can hear their footsteps and the creak of the floor. I laid in bed with my eyes closed. I remember hearing the floor creak and thinking to myself that it must be her brother getting up to go to the kitchen for a midnight snack. And then suddenly I realized there were no footsteps. It was just the creaking of the wood. It sounded like when there's a storm and the wind pushes against an old house and there's just the wood popping and shifting and making a creaking sound. I soon got a mental image of a black mass heading down the hallway towards her door, gliding above the floor. The noise grew louder and stopped at her door and at her door that we had locked earlier. A second later, it sounded like it had passed through the door and was in the room with us. The floor creaked in her room to the end of our bed.
Stop.
Oh my God.
Get out.
Oh my God. Oh. I sat there with my eyes clenched closed and praying to God, asking him to make it stop. I felt the Bible under my back as I lay there frozen and was hoping it was providing some type of protection barrier. I then died when I felt the bed sink as if something sat by our feet, wanting to crawl into bed with us. I was literally about to implode with fear. And right when I thought things couldn't get worse, I heard a rattle in the bathroom that sounded like somebody was digging in my friend's nephew's toy bin. I then heard one of his toys go off.
Oh, fuck that. Ew.
Oh my God. I'm so tense right now.
I know. Ugh, sick.
Her nephew had a fascination with trains and loved playing with them in the bath. He had this one toy set with different model trains, each one with a button on the top, and if you pressed it, it would say what type of train it was. I only remember one of the trains saying because of this incident. So this is kind of funny. This isn't funny, but this is kind of funny. As I laid there waiting for the ghost to pick its toy of choice, I soon heard, I am Iron Sugar.
Okay. Okay.
There was a sound.
Like the ghost sets that one off and it goes, "Ah, shit, that's silly. I should have picked another one for it."
Yeah, but then you don't want to seem at all. You don't want to seem indecisive though if you're trying to be spooky, you know. So you got to roll with the first pick.
I am Iron Chugger.
Iron Chugger.
Okay.
There was a sound as if the ghost was rolling the train on the grounds on the ground towards the bedroom as a kid would do playing with it. The saying, "I am Iron Chugger," grew louder and louder and faster and faster. Ew. Until I remember hearing, "I am Iron Chugger, I am Iron Chugger, I am Iron Chugger, I am Iron Chugger, I am Iron Chugger."
Oh, okay. Anything said that back to back is creepy.
Yeah, because that means that thing's really hammering on that button.
Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
Who are you? Tell me your name.
I'm Iron Chugger. Then, right as the toy slid in front of me on the floor, it stopped and let out one last sound. The tone of the toy changed and deepened. It sounded distorted and slowed down, almost demonic. It said, "I am Iron Chugger.
I am Iron Chugger."
At this point, I was clenching the Bible and hidden under the sheets. Time passed and the heaviness cleared. I guess I fell asleep or blacked out because I remember waking up the next day with my friend hysterically asking me if I was awake last night. She then explained what I had experienced. Turns out we both thought the other was asleep and didn't want to wake the other one, so we suffered their awake thinking we were alone.
God.
Weeks had passed, and things in my friend's house never quite settled. My friend's mom is sensitive to spiritual things and finally came to us and asked what we had done.
What did you girls do?
What did you do? After explaining what we had done and all the things that had occurred, the family brought in a priest a few days later. As soon as the priest entered my friend's home, he went straight to her bedroom where slept and said, "There's something evil attached to the person who slept here." He then asked us to leave, and he had work to do. After the priest cleansed the house and whatever else he did, things were back to normal. But every once in a while, you'll be walking through her house and you can feel something hiding in the shadows, watching your every move. It's Iron Chugger.
A little Iron Chugger.
I am Iron Chugger.
I am Iron Chugger.
I am Iron Chugger. Man, you know there was just like cool ones, like, you know, like, I don't know, just like coal locomotive or something. But you get Iron Chugger.
Iron Chugger. I don't know. The more we say it, the more badass it sounds.
It's the chugger part. Iron is chugger. A cool word in general. Yeah. I think iron is sweet. You know, you got iron and then it's just chugger.
Iron Chugger. Chug, chug, chug.
Iron Chugger.
Well, that took turns because, like, to me, anytime something sounds childlike, it's a 50-50 split. I'm like, it's either a kid playing with the train, hammering on that button, and just having a good time, or it's something trying to freak you out, knowing that kids' toys are freaky.
Yeah. It's just being an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, that's spooky. And I don't like how they had to lay there and listen to that train coming all the way down the hallway,
getting
quicker in speed. I would piss myself. I think I would. I think I'd piss myself right then and there. Yep. And especially the fact that you see it enter the room. So your brain is having to say, okay, no, this thing is moving.
Yes.
This is coming towards us. This is happening. I can't reason this away. And I think I just sleep, I suppose, at that point.
It might be better that you did not know that your friend was also awake, because I feel like you would just wrap each other up and spiral and just freak out. You know, who knows? But
absolutely, both just feed off each other's terror.
Yeah, until you both just pass out.
That's spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
ooh.
Wow.
Damn, dude. Well, we had quite a few. We had this was Oops All Bangers.
This was Oops All Bangers, man. I mean, we even had an IHOP ghost.
Oh God, the IHOP ghost.
Yeah, he's taking arms off of Santa's.
Slapping them across the room. Well, thank you for joining us for our Christmas or holiday or Yule, whatever. Wintertime spooky chode.
Recorded in a very impromptu manner.
Yes. And our one long take. We hope it's okay for you.
Yep. We're just going to slap music on it and put it up. So
did you like that? Was that good for you? Happy holidays, guys. Happy Yule. And, what's a cool way to end this?
Stay tuned next week.
Yes.
We have a treat coming for you. We're going to talk some astrology. We're going to have Amber back on. We're going to break down what's going on next year with the big celestial bodies.
And we get into our personal years ahead. So if you want to hear about the year for Macy and I coming up, which was, dude.
Very positive.
So good. And it's a nice little bit of refreshing. I think it's a good high note to sort of end the year on, just for everybody, because we do talk about the collective as well. So
yeah. So y'all stay tuned for that. And I guess we're going to wrap this bad boy up and maybe take a little nappy nap.
Listen, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to have myself another one of these Lent chocolate truffles. Boys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to go to sleep.
Well, enjoy it, everybody. Enjoy this season that we are in. Drink plenty of water. Rest your bodies.
Yes.
Be kind to one another.
Chug eggnog.
If you wish.
Snort cinnamon.
Mm.
Shove a Yule log up your butt.
Up your butt. Right up there. He's way up there.
Some good,
and then light it on fire.
Have some good chaotic holiday time.
Yeah.
And stay safe out there. Whatever you do, please remember to cleanse your spaces.
Cleanse your spaces. That's the moral of today's story. Yeah. I think that's the theme here. There's always a theme. Cleanse your spaces, especially after the holidays. It's a very stressful and emotional time.
Afterwards,
put some nice little lime or orange oil on, kind of get that going, or do a simmer pot and kind of cleanse the space. It doesn't mean you didn't have a good time.
Right.
Doesn't mean that you don't like your family, but sometimes it's just a lot of energy and you need to kind of cleanse it out.
And sometimes you don't like your family.
Sometimes you don't like your family and you immediately need point your besoms right at them. If you don't,
Come in the room brandishing a besom at them.
Just knock on the door. And when they answer it, you're just sitting there with the besom
turned upside down.
Yeah.
Just immediately. You're like, please leave now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, happy holidays. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Oh, God. All right.
Goodbye.
Bye. There's going to be music here, I guess.